Champlain Valley Game Night on 101.3 ESPN. Presented by the Windjammer Restaurant and Upper Deck Pub. Local, fresh, and Burlington's original steak and seafood restaurant. Now, here's your host, Brady Farkas.
What's up, everybody? Brady Farkas, Champlain Valley Game Night here on a Thursday. 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. You can download us for free on the 101.3 ESPN app. You can find us in the Google Play Store, the Apple iTunes Store. So however you're listening, we appreciate you. And on that Amazon Echo, if you're using Alexa, just say, Alexa, enable WCPV, enable 101.3 ESPN. However you want to say it, Alexa will play it. And we appreciate you joining us again, however you are. Coming up on the show today, some thoughts on the Giants quarterback situation, Red Sox-Yankees lineups at 6:15, some notes on the Boston Bruins as well. But first, I have to say this. I am ecstatic for Brett Gardner yesterday. And that's tough for me to say because I do not like the Yankees at all, but I also recognize players that I like. I do not like the Yankees. I very much like Brett Gardner, and I'm happy for him yesterday. Brett Gardner had the key hit in last night's ball game. Yankee fans on the Town Fair Tire text line, you can get in, and Red Sox fans are going to want to shy away from it. I know that, but here's how it sounded yesterday. It was 6-5 in the eighth inning. Craig Kimbrell was on the mound, and Brett Gardner was at the plate.
Fly ball, left center, on the runner's bats, going back, it's over his head, it's up against the wall. Walker scores. Torres is rounding third. He's coming home. Here's the throw. He's safe. A two-run triple for Gardner. And the Yankees have retaken the lead.
So that was Michael Kay on the Yes Network. And Yankee fans or Red Sox fans, again, Town Fair Tire text line is open, 802-655-6672. I'm happy to see that if the Red Sox were going to lose, I'm happy it was Brett Gardner that did it. And here's why. I have admired Brett Gardner's game for a long time. And there was a period of time where the Yankees became very much unlikable, okay? And I've never liked the Yankees. A lot of people have never liked the Yankees, but the Yankees became supremely unlikable after about 2010. And the reason why is because they were getting older. They were getting more and more monetarily based, where even though the Yankees always bought players, they had that core four, and they had some – Jeter was young still. Bernie was there. They had some likable guys. As those guys started to wane off and Jeter became a lesser player and Rivera retired and Pettit retired, some of the guys that you respected were gone. And it became A-Rod, Teixeira, Sabathia. And it was just these money guys, these imports. There were no roots to the Yankees anymore. Brett Gardner was a link between the past and what is now the present. Brett Gardner was a homegrown Yankee at a time when the Yankees didn't have homegrown Yankees. He was a guy that, in my estimation, played the game the, quote, right way. At a time when the Yankees were about money, at a time when the Yankees were more about money and more about buying players rather than developing talent, Brett Gardner was a guy who seemed to play the game extremely hard. At a time when the Yankees were just trying to launch home runs out. And they still do that to a degree. But at a time when all the Yankees did was hit home runs, Brett Gardner was a guy who would steal bases. And he would lead the league in stolen bases. And he would get dirty. And at a time when you didn't think Yankee players wanted to get their uniforms dirty, Brett Gardner was willing to do that. And he was willing to just do it. He was a tough guy. And I respected that always. I thought that after Derek Jeter retired, that Brett Gardner should have been the next captain of the Yankees. If there was going to be a next captain of the Yankees, it should have been Brett Gardner. Okay? He had three extra base hits yesterday. If the Red Sox were going to lose, I'm happy Brett Gardner was the guy that was the reason why. He's only hitting .214 this year. He's not as valuable as he once was. The Yankees have a lot of other pieces that play the game the right way now that they didn't have 6-7 years ago. I love the Yankees' youth. We've talked about it a lot. I can separate my hate for the Yankees with how much I love what they've done. I love Gleyber Torres. I love Aaron Judge. I like Gary Sanchez. I like the young pieces on this team. The young cost effective, cost-controlled players that they have built through their farm system or smartly acquired in deals. I like the way the Yankees have put together their team in a way that I dislike the way the Red Sox have put together theirs. But Brett Gardner, to me, represented, at a time when the core four was completely gone, Brett Gardner was the only likable Yankee. And to see him now being passed over in thought because of these young guys, you kind of forget about Brett Gardner. And I'm happy that for one night at least, Brett Gardner got to play the hero. In a year where he's only hitting 214, I'm happy he got to play the hero. And I will never forget that a couple years ago, when it was the year that the Yankees played Houston in the play-in game, it was Masahiro Tanaka against Dallas Keuchel, and Keuchel shut him down at Yankee Stadium. Brett Gardner got booed by the Yankee faithful. And I have never liked the Yankees. I have never been more offended by Yankee fans, maybe than at that moment. I could not believe that Yankee fans were willing to blame their loss in that game on Brett Gardner, and that they were willing to turn on him like that. Because for Yankee fans, I have to imagine that a lot of frustration was built up over the years and saying, man, it would be nice to have some homegrown talent. Man, it would be nice to have a farm system. Man, it would be nice to not overpay for this guy, this guy, and this guy. For the Yankee fans who said that, Brett Gardner was the answer always. And it was disappointing to see the fans turn on him the way that they did. And I remember going on the air. It was a Friday night. I remember going on the air that Saturday morning and crushing Yankee fans for that in a way that I never have before. So for the fans who crushed him now probably 4 years ago, I'm happy to see Brett Gardner getting some of that recognition back. And you know what? It's not lost on his manager either. Aaron Boone, he had some real good things to say about Gardner after last night.
He sets the tone for us just with the way his approach, the way he kind of leads guys, the at-bats he has, even when he's not rolling, you know, he still has that ability to get on base, and there's just a toughness that he plays the game with. And, you know, tonight I was happy to see him break through because, you know, obviously it was very impactful, but I guess maybe he needed, but he's so tough-minded that he just continues to grind away regardless. So I don't even really worry about him in that regard.
Well, I'm appreciative that Aaron Boone understands how valuable Brett Gardner can be, because the mainstream media always looks at the kids, the fans look at the kids, and we've forgotten about Gardner by and large, and I'm happy to see him making a resurrection. All right, Champlain Valley Game Night on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. I've been thinking a lot about this, and even though it's not football season, we spoke to Jamal Lewis, former rushing champion, in the huddle, and it started getting me thinking again about running backs. And I think about the New York Giants. Saquon Barkley can't justify his draft selection by himself. And that's a difficult position to be in. Look, I have accepted that the Giants drafted Saquon Barkley. I wanted them to take a quarterback. I didn't want them to take Barkley. But no matter how good Saquon Barkley plays, I don't think he can justify the selection to people who have doubted it, like me. People who doubted a running back being taken that high can't be pacified just by Saquon Barkley playing well. Because if Baker Mayfield at one and if Sam Darnold at three, also in New York, play really well, I feel like Giant fans are still going to say, man, we could have had the quarterback. We could have had that guy. Barkley could run for 1,400 yards. But if Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield end up awesome, then Giant fans, I feel like, are going to be disappointed. And they're going to be speaking of a letdown. And Giant fans, you're out there. Am I wrong? 802-655-6672. If Barkley is great on his own, does that alone justify his selection? Or will you be looking at what Barkley does, or what Darnold does, and what Mayfield does, and wondering, yeah, he's great, but we could have had that guy. Or we could have had that guy. Will you be measuring Barkley's performance against other quarterbacks in this draft class? And you know who can really go a long way towards helping justify that pick? Again, Barkley can't do it on his own. Davis Webb and Kyle Lauletta. One of those two for the Giants needs to be the answer for the future. One of those two has to be the answer. When Eli Manning is done, whether that's this year, next year, or the year after that, the quarterback they took last year in the third round out of Cal, or the quarterback they took this year in the fourth round out of Richmond and Kyle Lauletta, one of those two needs to have been proven the answer. Because if they have found the quarterback and they have found a late round, you know, a mid-round quarterback that's not making a lot of money and not tying up significant portions of the payroll, then Giant fans will say, okay, we got a quarterback that's good and a quarterback that's cheap and Saquon Barkley. Okay, I'm fine with it. But if Kyle Lauletta and Davis Webb aren't the answer, and we're still searching for that quarterback 5 years from now, and Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield were options. Baker Mayfield obviously was drafted number one, but you know what I'm saying? People had thought that he could have been there at two. If Josh Rosen is playing well, if Josh Allen is playing well, people are going to look at, you know, they're going to measure what Barkley has done against them. If we're still looking for that quarterback in 5 years, Giant fans are going to say, yeah, Darnold was available. Rosen was available. If we wanted Mayfield that much, maybe we could have traded up to one and gotten him if we were so convinced that Cleveland wanted him. Just move back one to two, whatever. But Giant fans are going to, I mean, Davis Webb and Kyle Lauletta have a chance to single-handedly justify the selection. Otherwise, it's going to come down to just wondering what those other quarterbacks are doing in this draft class. Good news for Giant fans, because Landon Collins was on ESPN Radio in New York earlier this week, and he had glowing remarks about Davis Webb. And these are things I hadn't heard about Davis Webb. I haven't heard a player come out with such staunch defense of Davis Webb.
I'm the future, honestly. The man, the kid knows what he's doing. He's been behind Eli's, I mean, literally on Eli's hip. If you don't see Eli, you see him. If he's bringing in notes, he's doing homework for Eli. Bring them in each and every morning before game week preparation. Game week, he's preparing like he's a starting quarterback for Eli to be on top of his game.
So that's Landon Collins saying that he calls Davis Webb the future, and Giant fans should hope that Davis Webb or Kyle Lauletta is the future. Because if you get that cheap quarterback mid round, late rounds, and you got Saquon Barkley, then the draft's a home run. If they never pan out, and if Darnold, Rosen, Mayfield, all the quarterbacks in this class are great, and you took the running back, Giant fans, I think, are going to be regretting that pick for years to come. Jeff in Plattsburgh gets in on the Town Fair Tire text line, and with a good point. He says, Brady, how many quarterbacks were picked before Tom Brady? And the answer is Tom Brady was sixth round, 199, so a lot of quarterbacks were picked before him. I understand that. Russell Wilson in the third round, Dak Prescott in the fourth. You can get quarterbacks beyond the first round. I understand that. But I'll flip it back on you and say, how many undrafted rookie running backs, how many late round running back picks have come in and been great? Okay? Alvin Kamara, Kareem Hunt won the Rookie of the Year and the Offensive Rookie of the Year and the rushing title this year, and both were third round backs from I want to say Tulane and Toledo. So you can, just as you can find a quarterback like Tom Brady in the sixth round and get lucky, or Kurt Warner off the scrap heap in the Arena League, you can find a running back second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, undrafted. You can find those guys. I mean, the Seahawks, they're going to go in to the season with Rashad Penny, who they did take in the first round. I understand that. But Mike Davis, who I never even heard of until I saw him in the game last year, and Chris Carson, who I think was an undrafted free agent at Oklahoma State, who also I had never heard of until he was in the game last year. So running backs can be found a dime a dozen, whereas quarterbacks, if you hit one in the sixth round, then you won the lottery. So I'm just saying, Giant fans are going to need to come to grips with the fact that Saquon Barkley, and Saquon Barkley's going to have to know this, he can't justify the pick himself. He's going to need Davis Webb, Kyle Lauletta to pan out, or he's going to need all the other quarterbacks after to flame out. Because if everybody else sees, oh, all the quarterbacks were busts, well, then the Giants would have made the good decision passing. That's how it's going to be viewed. All right, Champlain Valley Game Night here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Time to get to those. Oh, JT in Burlington. Kamara went to Tennessee. He's right. I think Kamara went to Tennessee. Kareem Hunt, I believe, went to Toledo. If I'm not mistaken, Kareem Hunt went to Toledo. Glenn in Moncton says six quarterbacks exactly picked before Tom Brady. So a good number of quarterbacks picked before Tom Brady, but that's not as many as I would have thought. I would have thought by the time we got to round seven, there were more than six drafted. All right, let's get you those Sox-Yankees lineup. Game three of the series from Yankee Stadium. Here we go. All right, Eduardo Rodriguez tries to stop the bleeding for Boston. He's 3-0 with an ERA of 5.29. CC Sabathia is on the mound for the Yanks, 2-0 with an ERA of a paltry 1.39. Lineup for the Sox, Mookie Betts is in center. Andrew Benintendi's in left. Hanley Ramirez is the DH. JD Martinez in right field. Xander Bogaerts at shortstop. Mitch Moreland at first. Eduardo Nunez at second. Rafael Devers is at third. And Christian Vasquez is the catcher for the Yanks. Brett Gardner in center, Aaron Judge in right, Didi Gregorius in short, Giancarlo Stanton in left, Gary Sanchez the catcher, Tyler Austin's at first, Miguel Andujar the DH, Gleyber Torres at second, and Ronald Torres, he plays third. All right, that'll do it for us. Thanks for being in the huddle. Thanks for listening to Champlain Valley Game Night as well. Thank you to former Ravens and Browns running back Jamal Lewis for joining us. If you missed any of that interview, you can find it online at 1013ESPN.com. Tomorrow, we're already pumped. Tomorrow, a Friday, a great show on deck. We'll get you ready for Cavs and Celtics. We'll have power play. Intern Alec, we appreciate you as well. Enjoy the game, everybody. Go Sox, 101.3 ESPN.